In fact, he told me, I would not be expected to do very much at all. I was one of the few people who had founded and managed a successful independent energy company, and I had an excellent reputation in the industry. SWEC's primary interest was to use my resume and to include me on its list of advisors, which was legal and was consistent with standard industry practices. The offer was especially attractive to me because, due to a number of circumstances, I was considering selling IPS. The idea of joining the SWEC stable and receiving a spectacular retainer was welcome. The day he hired me, the CEO of SWEC took me out to a private lunch. We chatted informally for some time, and as we did so, I realized that a side of me was eager to get back into the consulting business, to leave behind the responsibilities of running a complicated energy company, of being responsible for over 100 people when we were constructing a facility, and of dealing with all the liabilities associated with building and operating power plants. I had already envisioned how I would spend the substantial retainer I knew he was about to offer me. I had decided to use it, among other things, to create a non-profit organization. Over dessert, my host brought up the subject of the one book I had already published, The Stress-Free Habit. He told me he had heard wonderful things about it. Then he looked me squarely in the eye. "Do you intend to write any more books?" he asked. My stomach tightened. Suddenly, I understood what this was all about. I did not hesitate. "No," I said, "I do not intend to try to publish any more books at this time." "I'm glad to hear that," he said. "We value our privacy at this company, just like at Maine." "I understand that." He sat back and, smiling, seemed to relax. "Of course, books like your last one, about dealing with stress and such things, are perfectly acceptable. Sometimes they can even further a man's career. As a consultant to SWEC, you're perfectly free to publish that sort of thing." He looked at me as though expecting a response. "That's good to know." "Yes, perfectly acceptable. However, it goes without saying that you'll never mention the name of this company in your books, and that you will not write about anything that touches on the nature of our business here, or the work you did at Maine. You will not mention political subjects or any dealings with international banks and development projects." He peered at me. "Simply a matter of confidentiality." "It goes without saying," I assured him. For an instant, my heart seemed to stop beating. An old feeling returned, similar to ones I had experienced around Howard Parker in Indonesia, while driving through Panama City beside Fidel, and while sitting in a Colombian coffee shop with Paula. I was selling out, again. This was not a bribe in the legal sense. It was perfectly above board and legitimate for this company to pay to include my name on their roster, to call upon me for advice, or to show up at a meeting from time to time. But I understood the real reason I was being hired. He offered me an annual retainer that was equivalent to an executive's salary. Later that afternoon, I sat in an airport, stunned, waiting for my flight back to Florida. I felt like a prostitute. Worse than that, I felt I had betrayed my daughter, my family, and my country. And yet, I told myself, I had little choice. I knew that if I had not accepted this bribe, the threats would have followed.